I am the resurrection, and I am the life, saith the Lord. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though my body will be destroyed, yet shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not as a stranger. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Whether we live unto the Lord, or whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, from henceforth, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Even so, saith the Spirit, for they rest from their labors. Would you please be seated? I extend a most gracious welcome to the dozens, if not hundreds, of people here to celebrate Robin's life. Welcome to St. James Westminster. I also invite you to remember how importantly Robin has intersected with your various lives. Maybe you can tell some great stories after the service and at the reception afterwards. Robin delivered both of our children. He was a parishioner and a church warden in two of the congregations in which I served as priest and pastor, at both Lambeth and here at St. James Westminster. And I think more particularly, he was a confidant and a friend. So we celebrate this afternoon his skill, expertise, knowledge, great love of family, and his service over and beyond to the community. And now, my friends, we give thanks to God not only for Robin's life, but for life eternal. And standing, let us pray. O God, whose mercies cannot be numbered, accept our prayers on behalf of thy servant Robin, and grant to him an entrance into the land of light and joy in the fellowship of thy saints. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
A reading from the book of Ecclesiastes. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time for peace. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Once again, I invite you to be seated for the second reading.
And I saw a new heaven, a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of the heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I've known Robin for 53 years, and I consider it a great honor from the family to let me stand here. And let's hope I can get through it. I was originally asked to do a reading from the Torah, being a Jewish friend, and after consulting two rabbis, we couldn't find anything that would be appropriate. Well, not inappropriate, but would fit well. So I have decided to do what's called a mourner's kaddish. And a kaddish is a 13th century Aramaic prayer said during a traditional prayer service. Kaddish means sanctification in Aramaic and is related to Hebrew with the word kadosh, which means holy. Of the five variations of kaddish, the best known is the mourner's kaddish. The prayer never mentions death or dying, but instead proclaims the greatness of God. By reciting it, mourners show that even as this faith is being tested by their loss, they are affirming God's greatness. Traditionally, the prayer is said when there is a minyan, a quorum of 10 Jews, so that they can feel part of the community even when grieving. This is Robin's community, and I think they're going to let me get away with not having a few more Jews in the audience. The mourners must remain part of the community as his or her instinct might be to withdraw. Kaddish is also said each year on the anniversary of the death. It's called a yahrzeit. The rhythmic cadences of kaddish is soothing to both us in mourning and over the years as we say it at yahrzeit. To remember our loved ones, we say the prayer as a community because none of us is alone in mourning. I was going to now say the prayer in Hebrew, but I'd make a mess of it. So, in English, magnify and sanctify is the great name of God throughout the world, which has created according to divine will. May the rule of peace be established speedily in our time unto us and unto the entire household of Israel. And let us say, Amen. May God's great name be praised throughout eternity. Glorify and celebrate, lauded and praised, acclaimed and honored, extolled and exalted, ever in the name of the Holy One. Far beyond all song and psalms, beyond all hymns of glory which mortals can offer, and let us say, Amen. May there be abundance of peace from heaven, with life's goodness for us and all of thy people of Israel, and let us say, Amen. May the one who brings peace to the universe bring peace to us and to all the people of Israel, and let us say, Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for coming. Douglas and Heather and I are all going to split up Dad's eulogy and cut in when we can't finish our own section, so bear with us, please. So Dad was a very much loved husband, father, granddad, friend, and caregiver. He wore many hats, and with each role, he touched the people in his life. He had a kind and genuine way of interacting with people, and with it mixed a great sense of humor. He was a very dynamic man, and there was never a static period in his existence. His self-described handle on Facebook was a retired physician, active gardener, avid classical music buff, fond of both scotch and dozing off. Typical of Dad, who was so humble, there was so much more to him than he shared with most. So we've decided to share a bit of insight with a few highlights about this special man, although we could go on with many more.
Our first highlight is Dad's love of plants, trees, and all things gardening. And this corresponds to his gardening hat, of course. Growing up in rural Scotland after the war, his father and his uncle were very keen gardeners, and I think this undoubtedly sowed the seeds for Dad in his interests. After completing his undergraduate degree at the University of Edinburgh, he packed up a duffel bag and moved to Canada at the age of 21. I was preparing to leave for vet school in Australia. He told me many of his relatives at the time were either immigrating to Scotland or England, Australia or Canada, and Dad tossed a coin. And we know where he ended up, of course. He won the Beaverbrook Scholarship to study and earn a master's degree in forestry at UNB, and that pretty much forged his interest in trees and flora. When we were little, we all remember running through the greenhouses at Nick and Pauline Wires, and I think Nick was part of the impetus behind Dad building a greenhouse at our first family home. It was his version of a man cave, I suppose. It was filled with a variety of plants, banana tree, passion fruit, orchids, massive cacti, and a certain fragrant medicinal plant. Our parents spent countless hours in their massive vegetable garden and flower beds, and Dad would teach us how to till the soil, plant seeds, weed the garden, and I think he was grooming us for something bigger. We were uprooted from the city life in 1980, and once our hay burner numbers, and Dad referred to horses as hay burners, reached a point where the farm ownership made sense. This gave Dad an opportunity to reforest Westminster Township. Hundreds of trees were planted at the farm, and Dad also enrolled in a forest stewardship program. We had a 10-acre woodlot on the farm, and I always enjoyed those times. We'd walk through the forest, and Dad would point out the different species of trees, although I was a little more interested in learning how to use a chainsaw. Dad loved his trees so much that one day when a section of saplings accidentally got buzzed down by a riding mower, I had to run for my life while I was being chased by an irate Scotsman holding a sapling in his hand. And for those of you who are unaware, Dad was actually a pretty accomplished athlete and was a fast sprinter, and fortunately I got those genes passed on, so it was okay. Dad's plan was to plant all the species of the Carolinian forest that would grow in this climate zone. He also grew a wide range of plants that were meticulously labeled with their scientific and common names. And this continued each place we moved, and you can still find plants in the gardens at Cathcart with the tags on associated with them.
I just have to move the mic down for the short person in the family. So I'm going to talk about Dad's love of medicine, and many of you here had the privilege, I think, of being his patients and him caring for you for several years. So Dad's whole life was unselfishly devoted to others, family, friends, and patients. He practiced the art of medicine, was a skilled diagnostician, and had a gift for observing and listening and hearing what his patients were telling him. He gave the words, first do no harm, all the meaning Hippocrates wanted them to have. Mum found some appropriate words that Dad's father, James Stewart, had marked in his own Bible and were the focus of Dad's life. From Exodus 23, verse 25, and ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. And Dad held that true to his heart. Mum told us the story of the night they were engaged. Dad hitched a ride on an RCF plane home from Armstrong to Buttonville Airport, just outside of Toronto. And he proposed while driving down the 401, super romantic, Dad. And his next words after that were, you know medicine will always come first. Well, Mum thought she would fix that, and I think most of us in the room know how that turned out. So it wasn't uncommon for us to be waiting upstairs in Central Ave. So many of you who were patients of Dad remember visiting the office on Central Ave. And the upstairs, there was a little apartment, so we'd wait for him to finish with his patients. And it was often 6 o'clock or later at night by the time he saw his last patient, finished dictating, packed up his briefcase, and then we drove home to the farm. On the way, we would often stop and sit in the parking lot at South Street, Victoria Hospital, waiting for Dad to finish his rounds or to tie up a coroner's case. We knew we were in for a long wait when we were taken into the nurse's station and emerge, and they graciously gave us apple juice to drink, or go to the residence lounge while waiting for him. Dad always made time for his patients. It didn't matter how many complaints they came in with. He was there to help them and listen to them. And Christmas Day was really no exception. So the way that Christmas in our house worked is we'd all wake up early, open our stockings, and then Dad would make the trip in to do rounds at the various hospitals where his patients were inpatients to see them that day. So he usually got home around noon, Mom would have a nice spread brunch ready for us, and then we'd start opening the presents around 1, maybe a little bit later. Another big part of Dad's life was his love for music and the arts. Anyone who's been in Mom and Dad's house will know it's jam-packed with antiques and artwork. And guess what? We get to inherit it all. So working in the greenhouse on the weekends, or if he was polishing his shoes or ironing his shirts and hankies on Sunday mornings, Dad would always listen to CBC. The Air Farce and Saturday Afternoon at the Opera were usually a highlight for him. When we lived in the city on Baseline, I think Mom enjoyed the greenhouse because it meant Dad could go out there and play the radio as loud as he could without disrupting us in the house. So, like Douglas said, kind of Dad's version of a man cave. Dad encouraged us to listen to music, and it was always a thrill to be able to go through his record collection and have him pull out one of our selections and play them for us. His interests were very diverse, from Louis Armstrong, John Denver, Mozart, and ABBA. One of Dad's goals was to have a comprehensive collection of Mozart recordings, and I think he achieved it. During one family vacation to Scotland, we remember Dad driving us all over the countryside while playing Elton John's latest cassette. And to paint a better picture, our granddad had a little red Austin Mini, and 5 of us would fit in this little Mini and drive around the hills in Scotland, and it was a tight squeeze, I can tell you. Mom and Dad both loved art. Dad was especially fond of wildlife paintings and antique Scottish maps. Whenever we visited Scotland, it was never complete without a stop in an antique shop or a map shop. And we can recall the number of hours Dad would spend polishing all the cherished silver that he would acquire over the years. So, Jack and grandchildren, that is now your job. Okay, Douglas.
As many of you know, we spent a lot of our childhood on farm, and Dad loved his time on the farm. It was a healthy distraction from work as a physician and a coroner. It was baptism by pig manure, and we were all on that crazy ride. The first farm was formerly a pig farm, and it had a certain aroma about it. Floyd King, I think, can attest to that, because he came and helped do some of the cleaning for a while. One memorable moment was when Dad was reaching across a swill trough to open a window in the barn, and the board he was standing on gave way. And he slipped into a trough that we thought was about 1 foot deep with pig manure, and it ended up being about 2.5 feet deep. At that farm, we started with 4 horses and 6 sheep, and that quickly grew to 6 horses, an expanded barn that we built together, and over 200 brood ewes. And that happened in a matter of a few years. Dad's obstetric practicing certainly came into handy for a lot of the instances with lambing. Mom and Dad's love of animals started with old English sheepdogs. They owned and bred them when we lived in London, and on the farm that continued, our pet population expanded to an inordinate number of barn cats. There's a saying, if you feed them, they will come, and that was certainly the case. We had BJ the Angora goat. Any orphaned or injured lambs would take up residence in the house until they were well enough to go back to the barn, and of course, horses and calves that we raised on the farm as well. It was a great place for us to grow up. It showed that our parents' work ethic carried through all aspects of their lives. Dad embraced all parts of farm life, the animal care, growing and baling the hay, cropping, daily chores, and all things that go into owning a farm. And that was, of course, he loved the animals. And the caring he gave to the animals, I'm sure, paralleled what he did for all his patients. We all learned how to use tools, power equipment, drive the tractor, and become independent and self-sufficient young adults under Mom and Dad's tutelage. Some of our childhood friends got to experience farm life along with us, and I'm sure they have a few stories to tell. The first neighbors and now long-term friends of Mom and Dad that we met were Jim and Karen McKinnon. It came about meeting them one day after Lucky, their dog, followed me home after I was taking a walk through the woodlot. And Karen and I share a skill set. Jim would always comment about how he could see the trees sweating as Karen approached them with the riding mower. And Jim actually happened to witness the sapling incident as he was driving by the farm that fateful day.
Family life was something that was special to Dad. We didn't have a lot of time together as a family, but one of the best things about Dad was that he had time for us to talk, discuss anything we needed him to help us work through, whether they were life's problems or just to chat about the latest happenings in the world. He had the warmest welcomes with a big hug and a hello, love. When we all married, he was just as welcoming to our spouses. He was always there to support us through good and hard times. He never judged. He just supported and was there for us when we needed. And this held true for his friends as well. We know Dad had so much pride in us as children, even though his words were not often expressed. He witnessed all our convocations, and there were at least two for each of us, me being on the lower end of the other two. And I think he was really proud. He was a wonderful grandfather to the seven grandchildren and loved to hear about their accomplishments. I think he realized spending time with the grandchildren was important because he didn't get that time with us growing up. So he made more effort to partake in their life, which meant he was spending time with us as adults too. Mom and Dad worked very hard to give us the opportunities we had. Dad missed many of our extracurricular events, but we knew he had to sacrifice some time with us to be able to give us the privileges we had. A lot of our family time was spent working together on the farm, and we may have developed our parents' strong ethic, but we also acquired their bad habit of not being good at sitting still and relaxing. None of us are good at that, unfortunately. Whenever Dad would take a few minutes to sit down and try to watch part of a hockey game or a movie, it would be followed by the very loud sound of snoring, and then we'd shortly after hear Mom say, "Robin, go up to bed." And this statement carried on well into his retirement. If he ever sat down, he was usually asleep within about 5 minutes. Growing up, our faith was also a big part of our family time. Whether it was at St. Paul's Cathedral when we lived in the city or at Trinity Anglican Church in Lambeth, Dad made time so as a family we could attend Sunday services when we weren't baling hay or delivering lambs. Dad carried on his father's dedication to his faith. Granddad used to often do readings at the village church where they lived in Scotland. Dad was very active as a warden at this church for a number of years. Many of you know how much Mom and Dad loved to travel, and they were lucky to do it together for so many years. They traveled around a large portion of the world. Travel actually started at a very young age for Dad with a World Scout Jamboree in Austria, a move to Canada, and being posted at the Air Force in Northern Ontario as a young doctor was the start of travel-related careers that took the pair of them to Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, Saipan in the Mariana Islands, and Yemen. Medical conferences, and there were many of them, afforded Mom and Dad to travel around the world too, and both of them usually attended them and enjoyed them greatly. So we would stay home and then they'd come back and have a few little trinkets for us and tell us all about their travels. So they certainly planted the travel bug in us as well. Sri Lanka was an especially special place for Dad, where the Pierce family, who were patients in London and then moved back home, always welcomed him. Tours of the banana plantation he once owned, visits to the elephant orphanages, and touring the beautiful countryside were highlights of their many visits. An African safari was always on Dad's bucket list, and I think it was actually one of the favorite vacations he and Mom took together. We've all benefited from this travel bug and have seen many parts of the world, ranging from countless trips to Scotland to see our grandparents, trips to Saipan and Saudi Arabia to celebrate Christmas. So we are really, really fortunate to have a father and a mother who gave us a life where we could travel around the world and experience different cultures and understandings. So many people have left lovely memories of Dad on his tribute page, and Mom has also received many heartfelt notes from friends and colleagues. We'd like to share an excerpt from a letter from one of their friends who captures Dad's essence well. I shall never forget meeting Robin for the first time at the London Club. He asked me some very thoughtful questions and shared his life as a doctor at the hospital. He was always a pleasure to work with, and I valued his judgments and opinions. On so many occasions, he was very helpful to me. Grania, you may not recall, but you and Robin gave me a gift when I left London, a Tilly hat, which I still wear today. In fact, every time I put the hat on my head and go for a hike, I think of Robin and you. Take comfort that Robin is now with the Lord in heaven after serving him so faithfully on earth. He had this passion for helping the hurting, and that deeply impressed me. He loved his work and he did it well, and in so doing, he made this world a brighter, better place by being in it. What greater legacy is there for a human being than to leave this world a better place by being in it? Robin did that with gusto, and I'm sure that God smiles upon him in heaven right now. All of Dad's life experiences made it very clear to the family that we were blessed with a father who was unwaveringly dedicated to his profession, was caring and always non-judgmental, was accepting of others' cultures or beliefs, was outspoken when it came to defending what he felt was best for those he cared for, was hardworking, kind, and always caring. He helped us grow up learning that we are all people with hearts and feelings, and that being kind and respectful will get you a long way in life. Dad, we will all carry part of you with us through our memories and shared experiences. Thank you for being such a special person. We love you always.
Thank you all for coming today to celebrate and honor Dad's memory. Please feel free to share memories and stories and anything you'd like when we gather at Grosvenor Lodge after the service, because I think it's a really nice way to honor Dad for all of us who come today. Thank you.
Must have been cold there in my shadow to never have sunlight on your face. You were content to let me shine, and that's your way. You always walked a step behind, so I was the one with all the glory. You were the one with all the strength, beautiful face without a name for so long, a beautiful smile to hide the pain. Did you ever know that you're my hero? And everything I would like to be, I can fly higher than an eagle. My wings. It might have appeared to go unnoticed, but I've got it all here in my heart. I want you to know I know the truth. Of course I know it. I would be nothing without you. my wings. You are the wind beneath my wings. You are the wind beneath my wings.
Let us pray. Almighty God, with whom do live the spirits of them that depart hence in the Lord, and with whom the souls of the faithful are in joy and felicity, we praise and magnify the holy name of all thy servants who have finished their course and kept the faith. And committing our brother Robin to thy gracious keeping, we pray that we with him and with all those that are departed in the true faith of thy holy name may have our perfect consummation and bliss, both in body and soul, in thy eternal and everlasting glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, who hast opened unto us the gate of everlasting life, and art the peace and light of those who rest in thee, in company with thy holy apostles, prophets, and martyrs, and all the faithful departed, we praise and glorify thee for the fullness of joy which thou hast givest to all who put their trust in thee, who with the Father and the Holy Spirit livest and reignest, one God, world without end. Amen.
Oh,
Many, I dare say most, school children growing up in the United Kingdom at the time that Robin was growing up in the UK would have memorized Alfred Lord Tennyson's masterpiece, Crossing the Bar. There are only a few short sentences, and it is one metaphor heaped upon metaphor upon metaphor. The great danger, it contends, in our seafaring journeys, and we recall that Robin came first to Canada by ship, is the bar, the reef, that separates the safety of the harbor from the great unknown. The necessity of a pilot to lead us safely through the perilous waters, the shoals, the troubles, death itself. And of course, the pilot who helps us cross the gap between earth and heaven. Sunset and evening in star, one clear call for me, and may there be no moaning of the bar when I put out to sea. But such a tide as moving seems asleep, too full for sound or foam, when that from which drew out from the boundless deep turns again home. Twilight and evening bell, and after that the dark. And may there be no sadness of farewell when I embark. For though from out are born of time and place, the flood may bear me far, I hope to see my pilot face to face when I have crossed the bar. As we remain standing, may the road rise up to meet you. May the wind always be at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face and rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Amen. Please be seated as we prepare to depart.